Bibles this morning, get to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We had last week, as we started into this section, we'd seen some great healings in chapter 7, some powerful teaching on the deity of Christ. And then Christ now is teaching his disciples ultimately, though we know that from the clues at the very beginning of the passage that we also have a number of other people here. And last week we looked at the parable of the soils, all the different responses to the Word of God. Only the response that bears fruit is the response that actually takes God's word, says yes, and by faith receives Jesus Christ as Savior, and then bears fruit. And we'd seen these were some truths that God, or Jesus Christ in particular, wanted his disciples to learn about the kingdom of God. And so they asked, what's this parable mean, Lord? And he says, well, I'll give it to you. To you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You'll have the understanding. You have the spiritual insight. You're one of my children. But these stories are often told because those that don't want to hear the truth, they'll just walk away from it. A hungry soul will yearn to know the truth, and they obviously had demonstrated the fact that they had faith in Jesus Christ by asking the question, what does this mean? Well, I don't get it. Lord, would you help me? Now, I really like this next section. It's a brief section, but it encourages me as a preacher because this is part two of message part one. Jesus did it too. Now, I realize it's all recorded in about 21 verses in the first chapter, and I'm preaching over two Sundays, but I didn't even give you a clue about this last week. It was important for us to wrap up the parable and, Lord willing, have some good understanding of the parable. But here, now Jesus is going to start preaching, okay? And he wants us to learn some very, very important truths as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for his disciples. He's not talking to the crowd, the unbelievers at this moment. These are truths for us. Can I put it that way? Our truths. And we'd better learn them well because they're critical for our spiritual life and well-being. So, at first blush, can I put it that way? I found myself, and I've done this before, I find myself in these verses starting in verse 16 down through 21 wondering, okay, I mean, I kind of get the picture, but what's Jesus trying to tell me? And then if you're reading through this on your daily devotion time or whatever, you're just reading through Scripture, and this section of 19 to 21 about his mom coming and Jesus saying, no, all those that hear the word of God, they're my mother and brothers, brethren. It's like, maybe you don't ask these silly questions like I do, but it's like, I get that, I understand that, but why did he put it there? What's that all about? What? And then verse 22, we have this major narrative marker, can I put it that way? Now, it came to pass on a certain day, so Luke is changing topics. So we've gone through the parable of the soils. We have this teaching of Christ in verses 14, 15, 16, I'm sorry, verse 16, 17, 18, and then this comment about Jesus' disciples being like his brother and his mother. Why is that here? You've probably been around my preaching long enough to know that I encourage you to ask those questions of Scripture. A teachable heart, God loves to teach. So, Lord, why did you put this here? And what's the significance of this? Well, I will tell you, you start reading commentaries on these passages, and they're all over the place, too. I am not a smart man. I trust that I have the Spirit of God with me today. Can I put it that way? And as we've walked through, I think the explanation will come, in my opinion, very simple and very clear to us. If you're willing to read the passage in context, all of a sudden it just jumps off the page. So as I was literally last night, it's been these last several days since Thursday have been crazy. I've been answering emails. I've been reading reports. Trying to do, because I love you, and I want to make sure that we do what's right. Talking with men outside of here, what are you doing, what's going on, what's happening, all those things. So my life has been consumed. So it was, okay, honest admission, it was last night as I'm wrapping up the message, I had one of those moments. It's like, I think I understand, Lord. And then it was like, you read the passage one more time, it's like, oh, duh. It's like it's right there in front of your face. Why aren't you seeing it, Anderson? Okay. So I hope we can have a little bit of fun this morning while we learn from God's word and be encouraged by what he was trying to teach us as Luke records it and puts all these things together under the inspiration of God. Verse 16. Maybe let's do this. Verse 15, let's read that verse again, all right? Can we do that? Because that's the last verse of the parable, of the explanation of the parable. But that on good ground, so the seed, which is the word of God, remember, that fell on good ground, are they, remember, this is directly providing the connection, talking about people, so the soil, the ground is people, are they which in an honest and good heart, those are key words, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And remember, we talked about those two descriptions of the heart, the honest and good. Honest, another way we could talk about it is being beautiful. It's talking about the exterior. It's the exposing of what's actually on the inside. The word good is the word that's intrinsic. It means it's a part of who they are. So as we now take a broad picture, look at all of Scripture, what Christ is defining here is a person who, as they hear the word of God, as it describes here, keeps it, they cherish it as their own, they treasure it, they hold on to it. It's those that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, said yes to it. They've said, we understand, I'm a sinner. I must come to, only my faith in Jesus Christ alone can redeem my soul. All right? And the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. All right? So they say, I understand. I'm going to put my faith in Christ alone for salvation. No one else can take me to heaven. No one else can give me eternal life. No one else can redeem me from my sin. They hear the word of God and keep it. Their heart at that moment becomes intrinsically, supernaturally good. Remember how Paul describes it. We talked about this just briefly last week. We are new creatures. Old things, you are still a creature, by the way. Anyway, okay. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. We are utterly, the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're somebody different. We're us, but we're different. We're new. That's the heart that Jesus is talking about here. And as that goodness of the Lord, as we are indwelt by the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation, as then the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and starts to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, we take on a beautiful, that's the word honest, a beautiful character. Now, no wonder honest and beautiful are the same here. Because if I'm living my life honestly in light of God's truth and God's revelation of who he is, I'm going to look like Christ. And is that not beautiful? You understand? So the description, as they call this, that term to see beautiful in it, is actually a really wonderful, picturesque term of the Christian. You see, every Christian that's come to faith in Christ will, as this explanation of the parable, will produce fruit. No fruit, you're not saved. That's just the simple fact of it. A Christian has been changed. You can, in some respects, do no other. Now, I realize we still have free will. I understand all those theological concepts. You must continually grow in your acceptance of saying, Lord, I'll do your will. But you will produce fruit. The Spirit of God is there. He's going to start bearing fruit in your life. What joy. Okay, now, there we are. Let's go on to what Jesus says about the parable, in particular, about the good, beautiful heart, about hearing the word of God. Verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, or we could call it a lamp here, the Greek word allows for either a candle or a lamp. There were plenty of, by this point in history, there were plenty of oil lamps that they would use in the homes to light their home and so forth. So no man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, on a lampstand, that they which enter in may see the light. Okay, Lord, what's that have to do with the parable of the soils? I mean, I get it. Lamps are meant to give light. That seems to be the parable here, right? I call this the parable about the parable. Okay. Can you follow with me? Put up with my humor for just a moment, all right? All right. Okay. So this verse 16 is a brief little parable, and it has something to do with the long parable that he just explained in verses 4 through 15. Okay, lamps are meant to give light. Okay, well, maybe there's something more. Verse 17. So now I think he's going to say something about this parable about the parable in verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Okay, for a minute there we were just talking about lights on a lampstand and lights are meant to give light. Now he's talking about secrets. What? And I call this an annotation. All right, so we have the parable in verse 16 and we have an annotation. That's a note of expansion about that parable from verse 16. So 16 and 17 go really closely together. He uses that right connector word, conjunction, the word for there. So he's trying to explain himself in verse 17, but now he's talking about secrets. Made known. Okay, all right, what's going on? Well, maybe we'll learn a little bit more here. Let's see what else he has to say. Has your teacher ever told you, or your boss ever told you to listen all the way to the end, please? Has your mom ever said that to you? Anyway, okay, there we go. So let's listen all the way to the end, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. All right, so he uses the word therefore. So now we have something that is what I'm supposed to do about verse 16 and 17. All right, so what am I supposed to do? It says, take heed. I need to weigh carefully. I need to direct my mind to this. All right, okay, I'm listening. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Well, I cleaned my ears this morning. Oh, my wife, I'm sorry. Did that gross you out, honey? Anyway, okay. Take heed how you hear. What manner you listen to me? Okay, well, what do you mean? All right. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Oh, boy. Now we're talking about light, and then we're talking about secrets, and now we're talking about getting stuff and not having stuff. And then he says this. Then came to him his mother and brethren and could not come at him for the press, and was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. He's talking about hearing again. And he talked about hearing back in verse 18. I'm supposed to hear and be careful about how I hear, the manner in which I hear. Oh, okay, Lord, are you starting to, this is all of a sudden starting to, maybe I'm getting this. Are you talking about the word of God here again? And what I do about it? So you love the people, my mother and my brethren, verse 21, are those that hear the word of God and do it. That's clear. Okay, so Christ says that his family are those that hear the word of God, listen to it, and then actually live it out in their life. Oh, so Christ really is, in many ways, my brother. He says so. These are my mother and my brethren. That means Peter, James, and John are my brothers too. And they had asked the question, Lord, what does this mean? The big parable, the parable of the soils, what does this mean? And Jesus was pointing to them in verse 21, these are my mother and brethren, those that hear the word of God and do it. Maybe that's the clue that helps me understand 16, 17, and 18. God wants me as his child, as a part of his family. I've come to faith in him. By his help, I'm trying to bear fruit in my life. He wants me to be like these disciples, like Peter, James, and John, and hear the word of God. I shouldn't hide that trait in my life. That's something that tells the world that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, that I hear and do the word of God. Oh. Okay, so we come back to verse 16, and no man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, but putteth under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. You see, what had happened just before these verses, Christ had illuminated the hearts and minds of the disciples. He had explained the parable to them. Unto you, Jesus has said in verse 4, is given to know, or verse 7, verse 10, I'll get to the right verse. Unto you is known, you're able to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I'll explain these spiritual truths to you. Oh, so verse 16 is just giving us a beautiful picture. It's a parable about the listening process and what Jesus is doing. Could I put it this way? God is calling us in verse 16 to listen to and live in the light of Jesus Christ. He had illuminated their hearts, taken the word of God, and they said, I don't understand. Can you help me? And Jesus said, sure, I'll explain it. So he explained the parable. What is the soils? What's the seed? And after his explanation, he said, now listen, I've just put the light in the room. Listen to it and live by it. No wonder Jesus in the book of John is called the light of the world. No wonder John in his epistle to the Christians says to walk, this is chapter 1, walk in the light, and we will have fellowship one with another. Is he talking about some spiritual light inside my soul? No, he's talking about the Word of God. And he's explained it and made it wide open for us to understand. Now live in the light of the lamp of God's Word. Oh, now it just strikes me. Huh. Doesn't the psalmist talk about that in Psalm 119? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wow. So, Christ is the light. He is the light of the world, and he that followeth me, he says in John 8:12, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Believer, God wants you on a moment-by-moment, day-to-day basis to live in the light of the truth of God's word. Study it, know it. We'll see here in a minute in his explanation that we have been given by the Spirit of God to understand. He illuminates our hearts and minds. So, Christ didn't hide the truth. Just to have a little bit of fun in our culture and time for a moment, not the current problem but issue, but there are books that come out all the time that tell you they're going to reveal to you the secret of how to understand God's word. The premise is utterly wrong. Now, I will tell you that some of the problem is this. Some of the problem is those authors' hearts have not come to faith. They can't understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's given to the believers, the ones whose hearts are beautiful and good. And you and I can start to understand it. It's not a secret. This is called the revelation of God, not the secret of God. Well, you say, no, wait a second, Pastor. All right, you get theological with me. I'll get theological with you. Doesn't Paul call this the mysteries? In fact, didn't Jesus just use the word mystery? Yes, and remember we talked about that last week. Yes, what is a biblical mystery? It's something that's previously unknown and that's now being revealed. Here is Jesus enlightening our hearts to something brand new. We're going to walk a little different way than we did in the Old Testament. I'm giving you a new testament, a new covenant. And let's walk in the light of the New Testament. not away from the Old Testament, on top of the Old Testament. We build on it. Make sense? So he's illuminating our hearts. Oh, great. Okay, so listen to and live in the light of Christ. What a wonderful parable. So then he goes on in verse 17 to help us. Now that we've got that, it's like, okay, everything's going to just be wide open for us. Verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Now that word, nothing secret shall not be made manifest, he's talking about something in the future. And the word manifest is talking about being plainly recognized. It's like, can I be so blunt? It's like the nose on the end of your face. All right, we all recognize it. Okay, it's there it is. All right, so Christ is going to make known, make manifest. He's the light. Something as we walk along here. This is future yet. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You see, this annotation is a note about the parable about the parable. Christ enlightens, and he continued to enlighten the mysteries of the kingdom of Christ to his disciples. This really is hearkening back to what he said there in verse 10. Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, the parable was really the start. It's like for the first time we have recorded here that the disciples understood. At least had it explained to them really well. What does the parable mean? Oh, Jesus says, I'll tell you. I'll illuminate your heart. I'll share the truth with you. And he says, verse 17, I'm going to continue to do that. I haven't showed it all to you yet. And so then we have the wonderful, if I can put it in the broad terms here, we have the rest of the Gospels, Christ, the Word of God. So we saw verse 16, Christ is the light. Here we see clearly, Christ is the Word. He's the revelation of God to us. So not only is he in personal form, in physical form, God, very God, but then he teaches us his Word and explains it to us. Helps us understand. So we have then the rest of the Gospels, the rest of the New Testament to guide our thoughts. And we come to one of my favorite verses. What is it? 2 Peter 1:3. God has given us all that we need for life and for godliness in his Word by the knowledge of Christ, 2 Peter says there. It's like, I think Peter understood verse 17. And so many years later, he records it in 2 Peter. In Christ, we have all that we need for life and godliness. You grow in your knowledge and understanding of who Christ is and his revelation to us in the Word of God, and guess what happens? There's no secrets anymore. The secret is made manifest. Well, you say, no, wait a second, Pastor. But God is greater than us. There's a lot of secrets with him. The secret things... I know, Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong to the Lord. But finish the verse. Finish the verse. Why don't you turn there with me, just for some fun, real quick, wake you up, all right? Deuteronomy 20, I don't know that anyone's sleeping, but okay, the guy that chuckled over here was. Anyways, Deuteronomy 29, 29, there we go. What a wonderful description God gives, or Moses gives, I'm sorry. See, but the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 29. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. We have these clues throughout the scriptures that God has given us his word so that we're not in secret, we're not lost. We have all that we need for life and for godliness. Yes, are there some secret things that still belong to God? For eternity there will be. He's God. We're not. If ever I would know everything, guess what that would make me? That would make me God, and I'm not all-knowing. I don't want to become him. That's not what God has designed for my life. Nor for yours, by the way. So there will always be things that God will know more and better and beyond us. Fine. But what he's revealed... it's no secret. Now, believer, let's then do this. As we run back to the passage, you see, much of Christ's teaching ministry was exactly for the purpose of revealing, making manifest, plainly recognizing God's truth for us to live by. So John 16, he says to his disciples, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, fitting description, all right, we're talking about truth here, the Word of God, has come. He will guide you into all truth, talking specifically to the 12 disciples. For he shall not speak of himself, talking about the Spirit won't speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, from who? From Jesus. That shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The Spirit will glorify the Son. For he, the Spirit, shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So specifically, John 16 is dealing with the apostles' work in inscripturating, all right, in writing down the secret things that are now being revealed. We know that Paul went to the Arabian desert, spent time there, receiving revelation from the Lord, and he said, it was given to me, this is Ephesians, it was given to me to reveal unto you these mysteries, these earlier unknown things, but now let me tell you about them. The great mystery was the church. It was a head scratcher for the Jew. And Paul said, all right, God's given me that secret, that mystery, and let me tell you all about it. And so God did. Don't we have a great God? Here we have all the way back here at the beginning, in many ways, the beginning of Christ's ministry, early on. The first parable that's actually explained in any of the Gospels, it's this one, the parable of soils. And Jesus says, there's more to come. And it's called the New Testament. What a great God. So then, for you and I, believer, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. As I was preparing this message, I will tell you, Lord, I need your help here. I'm dumb. I'm not kidding it. And so you study, read further, use the tools that God has given you. So I'm digging into the Greek passages, and what's going on? I know this is connected. It's got to be. There's some clear things that are happening here. And then, as I said, I came to verse 21. It's like, oh, there it is. God loves his children that hear and do his word. This is all about hearing the word of God and doing it. So Christ enlightens the mysteries of the kingdom. Let us follow his word. So then, finally, the application that Christ makes then. And here's our application for the day. This is, in a sense, can I put it this way? Here's our final preaching point. It's verse 18. Can I start with the word therefore? So it doesn't interrupt us. Therefore, take heed how ye hear. So then this proverb here, verse 18 is really a little proverb. It would be something we'd find in the book of Proverbs. This proverb has something to do with how I hear, how I'm hearing the word of God that's being revealed by Christ at this moment in history, but then as we have it through the New Testament. How am I to hear? Right? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. How should I listen to the word of God? Well, the context says this, verse 15, good heart, keep it. All right? So I need to hear with a heart to obey. That's that first part of the proverb, for whosoever hath. Could you describe your life as I have? It's part of who I am. I have God's word. Would people around you, at work, at school, would they look at your life and say, they have God's word? It's oozing out of the pores. All right, they are hearing it and doing it, as verse 21 describes of them. Whosoever hath. So if I have a heart to say yes to the word of God, this is where 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is your life characterized by being a student, a lover of the word of God? Well, then what does God promise? If I have that heart, a heart to hear, to him that hath, what's he promise? He shall be given. What? More of God's word. You'll glean it more. I felt like last night was one of those moments that God gave me some more. honest confession. I've not ever preached through this through Luke before. We hit these same some of these same proverbs in Matthew. It's recorded in Mark as well. But the context is a little different. All right? So it's like, I don't know how many times I've read over the many times I've read this passage. And as a fool, I locked in maybe on the parable of soils. Oh yeah, that's neat that, you know, anybody that hears and does God's word is that's Christ's brethren. That's neat. And you hasten on into the next passage. And I never stopped and parked here before. So as I'm preaching, it demands that I park. And then my stupidity really shows up. It's like, Anderson, you've never even really thought about this before. What's going on here? And so as I humbly come to my Lord and say, Lord, I need to understand. Well, he gave me more. As you can see the explanation, I learned some things. And it's excited my heart. I've understood more of God's word today. And so may I take on the traits of my family and be a good doer of the word of God. Now here's the warning. The proverb is not done. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. You see, why should I listen to God's word? Yes, I should listen. How? The manner with a heart to obey, to learn more. But why should I hear? Well, because the heeding disciple, the disciple that knows the Lord, will be blessed with more understanding of the word of God and therefore greater opportunity to do his word, culminating in great reward. But for those that seem to think they're a follower of the Lord, he will lose even what he thinks he has. The warning to me is dire and strong. In light of how Christ interpreted the parable, we must say, you may be like the soil on rocky ground. So let's go back to the parable. Will you join me back in the parable? Because I think the end of verse 18 is the fitting description here. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, that's a characteristic, it seems, of a disciple, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root. And if we can add for explanation, they have no root in themselves. They act out Christianity with no heart. That's been redeemed. Okay? Which for a while believe. And in time of temptation, when the test is put, is this faith real? They fall away. That's the end of verse 18. They fall away. Even what he seemeth to have will be taken from them. How many Christians, I'm using it in broad terms, how many Christians will stand before God one day and he'll take away what they seem to have? They may have fooled us. They may have acted like Christians. They may have come to church. They may have been kind and nice to their neighbor. But the reality is they had a heart that was not receptive to the word of God. And what they even seem to have will be of no value. They have no root of themselves. That root is only by Christ. May that not be true of our life. May we have honestly trusted Christ as our Savior. I don't mean to scare anyone out of their salvation today. But I do mean to be serious. Christ was. I have to preach God's word. Please don't act like a Christian and not be one. Be a lover and a doer of the word of God. Every believer, though we stumble, though we struggle, every believer will hear God's word. We'll grow in it and learn more. God's promised he would do that. If the word of God is of no value to you ultimately in your life, come to Christ today and begin hearing God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being a lamp to our feet. Thank you for recording in your word revelation, the revealing of truth to us, so that we have all that we need for life and for godliness. We won't ever have the excuse standing before you, but I didn't know, Lord. No, you've given us all that we need. So, Lord, help us as Christians, as lovers of the word, to listen well and to do it. That's how we're supposed to listen. Lord, if there's one here today that seems to have the word, but has not in their heart put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, please draw them to thyself today. Take the word of God that you've given through this weak messenger. Bring deep conviction and draw them to Christ today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, are your family traits hiding? Do people know that you hear and do God's word? Maybe today your heart's been challenged. You say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want my testimony to be loud and clear. I love Jesus Christ, and so my life is going to be about hearing and doing God's word. Could I pray for you? Maybe say, Pastor, that's my need today. Would you pray with me about that? Anyone at all, quietly lift their hand in the air and say, Pastor, pray for me. Yes, amen, amen. Anybody else? Are you here today without Christ? Thank you for coming. I just rejoice that you're here today. But if your faith is not in Jesus Christ alone, you can't act Christianity. It will be of no value to you. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I know that I've been acting, and I want now to be a reality of my life. Would you pray for me right now? I want to be saved. Anyone at all, maybe quietly lift their hand and say, Pastor, that's my need. Anyone at all? Lord, work in our hearts and do your good work. May we be people that are people of the book, that love it, hear it, do it. If there's one here today without Christ, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.